Oh, Father, we just worship you and praise you for your word that is exalted above your name, that lives and abides forever. And most of all, we worship you for your word, Jesus, who was made flesh. Thank you for your word being sharp and powerful than any two-edged sword, and it divides asunder the joints and the bone from the marrow and the spirit from the soul. Father, I thank you and worship you for your word changing us by the power of your Holy Spirit tonight. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I hear and people say a lot of times, they say, boy, I wish God would talk to me. And the thing of it is, you know, God's always talking. And just to give you an example, the first thing I have on here tonight, the name of tonight's lesson is Have God's Own Faith. I taught a similar lesson to this at the prayer center a few weeks ago. And that night I called it Have the Faith of God. But really, in today's language, it makes a better impact on you to say, well, have God's own faith. And you'll see what I'm talking about in a minute. Now, here's what the Father said to me about the lesson. He said, quote, most of my people are trying to believe by using human effort, the force of their will. That is flesh and will not work. The flesh profiteth nothing. Trying to believe is not what my son taught concerning the operation of the kingdom of God. Teach them again how the kingdom operates and how faith grows. Keep checking the tape, it sounds funny. Now, did y'all get that? See, I made that mistake for years because I understood that without faith it's impossible to please Him. You know, if you have faith, all things are possible to him that believes. According to your faith, be it unto you. You know, and all of those things in the Bible about faith. So, to me it sounded like, well, it all depends on me and my faith. And for years, I tried to have faith. Miserably failed time after time after time. Could not understand what was wrong. Could not understand. Well, thank God for the ministry of Dave Roberson and for praying in other tongues. Because the Holy Spirit, he started explaining grace and faith and all of these things to me in a way that I could understand it. See? That's the thing about praying in other tongues. The Holy Spirit knows how Tony's made. He knows the experiences Tony's had. He knows everything about Tony. And so, if he's going to teach Tony faith, he'd probably use different examples and different ways of teaching him, even though it's the same faith as faith. But the way he would teach it to Tony would probably be different than the way he would teach it to me. You know, I don't know how he was raised. I was raised in a construction. You know, my dad was in construction. I was always around that. And he uses that, my experiences, to help teach me from the Word what faith means. But yeah, I'm getting ahead of myself. Hang on here. All right? But look at that. He says, this is the Father's voice. You can tell. You know, sometimes you can't tell whether it's the Father or Jesus or the Holy Spirit talking to you. Well, you can tell in this one it's the Father. He says, most of my people are trying to believe by using human effort, the force of their will. That is flesh and will not work. The flesh profits nothing. Now, see, trying to believe is not what my son taught. I can tell this is the voice of the Father. See? Concerning the operation of the kingdom of God. Teach them again how the kingdom operates and how faith grows. Would you all like to know that? Okay. Now, most translations of the Bible, including the King James, translates the Greek words that Jesus spoke in Mark 11:22 like this. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. And if you look in most translations of the Bible, whether it be New American Standard or just about any of them, most of them, that's the way it's stated. There's one problem with that. That's not what Jesus said in the original Greek language. Do y'all know that the Greek Bible was originally written, the King James Bible, the Bible that we have today, was originally written in Greek. Did y'all know that? Okay. I mean, they were not speaking American English when Jesus walked the earth. Okay. The Greek language was the language being used. Okay. Now, in that language, Jesus did not say, have faith in God. And not only that, if that's what he'd wanted to say, if that's what he'd been wanting to say, he could have easily chosen Greek words to say that. But he didn't choose those Greek words. What he actually said was this, have the faith of God. Not have faith in God. How many know it's good to have faith in God? There's nothing wrong with that. But that's not what he was talking about right there. He was saying, have the faith of God. Well, what's the difference? Well, you're going to find out here. Now, if he had been speaking in English using today's normal street language, just like we talk today, you know, he would have probably said it this way to impact our thinking. In other words, when I say this, this is going to impact your thinking the way those Greek words impacted their thinking, the ones that he was talking to that day. What he really said was, Angie, well, just have God's own faith. Just have his faith, Angie. And I imagine your mouth would drop open if the Lord Jesus walked up to you and said, Angie, just have God's own faith, turned around and walked off. You know, your mouth would be going, okay. And I imagine theirs did too. You know, have the faith of God. Have God's own faith. What in the world is he talking about? How would you do a thing like that? All right. Now, what he said was, not faith like God's. Now, see, now, the reason I put that in there is that in the margins of a lot of Bibles, where it says, have faith in God, if you look in the margin, sometimes it'll say, have the faith of God, and then sometimes it'll say, have the God kind of faith. Well, that would be faith like God's. But that's not what he said either. He could have said that. He could have chosen Greek words to say, well, have faith like God's. He didn't choose those words. The words that he chose to say out of his mouth was, have the faith of God. Or you could say, have God's own faith. Well, now think about this. If that's possible. Now, he says, not faith like God's, but the actual, tangible faith of God himself. Pat, let me ask you. Why operate on our faith if it's possible to operate on his? Wouldn't that be a better deal? See, when I think about all those years I tried to operate on my faith and how I failed and how I failed and how I failed, I never dreamed it was possible that somehow I could literally operate on his faith. See, we could all agree that it would be easy to operate on God's faith because all of us know one thing for sure. Can I get a witness? God's faith works. I mean, if it was possible for you to just, okay, let's just say you had a big zipper right here where your spirit man is, and we say, all right, we're just going to zip, we're going to open that up, we're going to take your faith out, that faith that hasn't been working all that good, you know, and we're going to take God's own faith, and we're going to come over here and we're going to put that in you, zip you up. You think you'd be able to operate a little better when it comes to this faith business? That's what Jesus is literally saying. He's saying, don't be operating on your faith anymore. Pat, quit it. He's going, nah, forget that faith. Stop that. Have God's faith instead. And we're all going, that sounds good, but how? Okay. You know me. Don't be telling me to do that. Tell me how to do that. Well, Jesus, he told us exactly how. All right. God's faith works. But how in the world does a person do that, see? Now, notice up there where the Father was talking to me. He gave me two things to teach. One is how the kingdom operates. Two, how faith grows. So we're going to look at both of these. Tonight's a three-pager, you guys. I couldn't get all of this on two pages. I normally try and keep it to just two pages, a lesson page and an action page, but it's too much tonight. Number one, let's talk about, first of all, the first thing that God told me. How does the kingdom operate, okay? Everyone's familiar with Mark chapter 4. Before I even start reading this, y'all have heard it. And if you've been in church any length of time at all, what is Mark chapter 4? The sower sows the word, right? And, you know, if you guys are like me, you've heard it preached so many times, you could stand up here and preach that as well as I could. The sower sows the word. And some of it fell on the wayside, and the birds came and ate it up, and so forth and so on. We could go right through there, right? You've all heard messages like that. All right, now, after he got through teaching that, he gave a couple of examples. And I've chosen the third one here. This is really the way the Lord taught me faith, how to operate on God's faith instead of mine. All right? Mark 4, verses 30 and 32. And he, Jesus, said, well, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed. These are already collated, you guys. It's like a grain of mustard seed, which, when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Now, listen, let's get simple. Jesus said that the kingdom of God operates exactly the same way as growing a tree in the natural realm. Now, let's stop for a minute. What we're trying to do tonight is to demystify faith. Now, if Jesus said, if I asked any one of you guys, could you please tell me how to grow a tree? I don't think, we'd have a big problem with this. You'd say something like, you need a seed. If you're going to just start, with that, not a cutting or a sapling, but if you're going to start from scratch, if you want an apple tree, then you need an apple seed. And then you'd go out there and you'd dig a hole and you'd prepare the soil, dig around it some, and you'd put the seed in the ground, cover it up and water it, Now don't be digging that seed up every day, Keep it watered, right? And that thing will grow. Now is that real complicated? Everybody in here can do that, right? Jesus said the whole kingdom of God is just that simple. And it's so simple, we stumble over it because we keep thinking, and we get a lot of help from preachers. I don't mean to say that we don't. We get a lot of help from preachers. It cannot be that simple. Yeah, it is. He said, if Jesus says it operates this way, it operates this way. There's no point trying to complicate it. I've got good news for you guys that came tonight. Every single one of you can operate with the very faith of God. By the time you leave here tonight, say, is that good news? Say, that's good news. See, I'm glad I came tonight. Hallelujah. All right, now watch. I'm going to read this line again. Jesus said that the kingdom of God operates exactly the same way as growing a tree in the natural realm. You take a seed that has the image of a tree on the inside of it. That apple seed, programmed inside that apple seed is a whole tree, right? There's an image inside of it, right? Okay? I mean, you don't plant an apple seed and get a peach tree. You plant an apple seed, you get an apple tree. All right? Now, you sow it into the ground. So far, no problem, right? The seed itself will begin drawing from the soil that you planted it in the substance that is needed to produce the image that is on the inside of the seed. In this case, an apple tree. It'll start drawing from the ground. You don't have to tell it. It knows what to do. It's designed on purpose to start drawing from the ground everything that is needed to produce an apple tree. Isn't that right? You don't have to stand there and say, well, now if I can believe, grow, grow. I mean, does that have anything to do with it? Your human energy and your believing part, does that got anything to do with it at all? What is required? Put the seed in the ground, leave it in the ground, and keep it watered. Isn't that about it? That's about it, isn't it? Don't be checking it every 3 days. I don't see nothing yet. Don't be digging it up. Just leave it in the ground. It'll do it, right? So far, so good, right? You keep the seed in the ground. You water it. Now, you do have to keep it from being choked by weeds. You understand what I'm saying? And simply watch and watch with patience. That's the part we don't like, even in a natural. If I plant it right now, bless God, if I plant an apple seed today, I'd like to have an apple tree 3 days from now. Actually, I want it by noon tomorrow. Now, the patience part. You don't normally, even in the natural, you don't plant an apple seed and eat apples that year. We don't like that patience part, do we? We don't like that patience part. I mean, again, this is the microwave generation, Tony. We stand in front of the microwave and yell, hurry, right? Come on. Now, all right, you keep the seed in the ground, you water it, you keep it from being choked by weeds, and then you simply watch with patience as the tree is produced. Once the tree is grown and produces fruit, then you're free to eat fruit from the tree. Now, is that simple? That's not rocket science, is it? You don't have to have a real high education, college degree to plant a seed and grow a tree. Isn't that right? Now, Jesus said faith works just that way. The kingdom of God works just that way. If we'll keep it that simple, it'll work. Now watch this. In the kingdom of God, the seed is the word of God. The sower sows the word. Say it a little louder for benefit of the tape. The sower sows the
word.
Okay. Or you could say, the word is the promises of God, is it not? Okay. Each promise has an image in it. Now, what do I mean by that? For example, all right, let's say you were in here tonight and you were sick. Okay. You find a seed from the word that has the image of healing in it. That's what you're needing, is healing, isn't that right? So you might find a seed that says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Or you could take Psalm 103, who forgives all thine iniquities, who heals all thy diseases. Talking about the Lord. You could pick you a seed or two there. Find one that has the image of healing, if that's what you need. Okay, and that's your seed. You got your seed, right? There it is. Got the image that you want. If it was prosperity, how about my God shall supply all of my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. If it was a wayward child, how about Isaiah 49 somewhere, where it says, even the lawful prey shall be delivered, and the captives of the mighty shall be set free. I will contend with those that contend with thee, and I will save thy children, says the Lord. Hallelujah. That's a good one, isn't it? Hallelujah. That's your seed. That's your seed. Find one that's got the image you need in it. If I was out here and I was wanting apple trees, I wouldn't go around planting peach seeds. Well, if you're needing your kids delivered, spend some time sowing some kid delivering seed. Okay? All right? Okay. Hallelujah. Now, you got it? So, okay, we're going to follow the same steps that we would with a natural tree. You get your seed that's got the image in it that you want. You plant the promise into the soil of your spirit. The promise makes contact with the anointing of Christ who is within you. Now, see, that's the thing. If you got to be born again for this to work. Natural man has no contact with God. The unborn again man has no contact with God. He can spout this stuff all he wants. Till you're born again and Christ dwells in you, he is the anointed one. He is the one. He is your bridge. He's Jacob's ladder. He's the connection between earth and heaven. Okay? But if he dwells in you, you plant the written word, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus activates that. His anointing kicks in. Now you've got a connection with heaven, see? And heaven is the source. The Father is the source of everything. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. All blessings flow from the Father. See what I'm saying? Now watch. In the natural, we planted the seed in the soil because the soil had what it needed. The soil has in it everything needed to produce the apple tree. Okay, here we plant the seed into our spirit, which is connected by the anointing of Jesus to the Father. Do y'all think the Father has everything you need within him? See the same principle? Same principle? Now, the promise makes contact with the anointing of Christ within you, and his anointing causes the promise to begin drawing the substance of what? The substance it's going to take to produce that image. That's on the inside of the seed. Your healing. Your kid being delivered. Your prosperity, whatever it is, okay? It begins drawing the substance from God the Father himself to produce whatever image is contained on the inside of that promise. Your job is to keep the promise sown in your spirit, water it, keep it from being choked by circumstances, and simply watch with patience. We don't like that part. As the promise is manifested in your life. Once the promise is in full manifestation and the fruit has appeared, you're free to eat the fruit of it. Okay? Now, if you can understand the comparison there, that is how the whole kingdom of God operates. That same operation there is how you get healed. That's how you get blessed financially. That's how you get your kids saved. That's how you intercede people into the kingdom. That's how your marriage gets healed. You find the promise that contains the image within it of whatever it is you need. You plant that. And see, that substance that's coming in there from God, it's... Did I write it on here? Yes, Hebrews 11:1. How appropriate. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now let me ask you this. Going back to the natural seed, the natural apple tree seed. When you planted the seed into the ground, did the substance come out of the seed, or did the substance come out of the ground? Out of the ground. She's courageous. That's right. Sure. The seed is the mechanism. It's like a magnet that draws the substance from the soil. The Word of God operates the same way. It's the mechanism. Once it touches the anointing of Christ within you, it draws the substance from God the Father. Okay? The substance is flowing from the Father to you. Do you notice that faith is the substance? So, faith is faith flowing from you towards God in this operation? Or is faith flowing from God to you? Huh? From God to you. You got it? Now, that's how you operate on God's faith. Put it in simpler terms, it works like this. God has already given us His faith. He gave it to us in seed form. Every one of you has got one at your house or in your lap. It's called a Bible. He gave you all of those promises. His faith is already in there in seed form. It's like somebody came up and gave me a sack of apple seeds. Okay, the apple trees, they've already gave me. You know, if they gave me 100 seeds, they gave me really 100 apple trees. The apple trees are already in there. Isn't that right? But it's in seed form. Now, if I'll just do with the seed what you're supposed to do with seed, okay, I don't have to produce trees. The seed is designed to draw trees right up out of the ground. Well, the Word of God is designed to draw substance and faith directly from the Father. It comes directly into you. Faith is not going out of you to Him. Faith is coming from Him into you when you plant that seed. It's drawing the substance, and faith is the substance of things hoped for. Does that clear it up a little? Okay, now watch. See, this is the way God's always done it. God's method of creation has not changed. In the beginning, when there was nothing, where was everything? In God. Isn't that right? God saw there was nothing but darkness, great void. But on the inside of God, He looked inside of Him. You know, our Bible says God is light. Well, He doesn't like darkness. Do y'all ever notice light, darkness don't get along well? You know? He didn't want darkness. So He looked on the inside of Him, and He just said, light be. Now, the substance of light flowed from Him out where there was darkness and dispelled the darkness. Isn't that right? So it flowed from Him. It's never changed. It's everything you get from God still working just that same way. It flows from Him to you. Okay? Now, He's given you all these images of what's on the inside of Him. See, on the inside of Him for you is your healing. He's got it. Angie, He can make you so rich before dawn, you'd take you 5 years just to count the money. You see what I'm saying? He has. I mean, prosperity is not a problem for God. Do you understand what I'm saying? He can give you one idea, make you so rich. Okay? Or He could just have some sheikh or some rich Arab just, you know, come to your house and drop off a gold nugget big as your car. That'd do it, wouldn't it? You see what I'm saying? The substance is in Him. He's able to do all this. Our problem is, my problem was, for years, I kept trying to throw my puny faith? Lord have mercy. Now, when Dave does that, I'm not going to say that's the anointing. I just messed up, okay? I believe it is anointing when Dave does that. Puny faith. All those years, I was trying to throw my puny faith towards God, you know. You know, I believe it. And he's going, oh, brother. You know, I was not doing what Jesus said do. Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. All right. God's method of creation has not changed. It is still His faith. Everyone say His faith.
His faith.
That produces the substance of every promise. Get this, it's His promise, it's His faith that produces it. He gave the promise because it's His faith to you in seed form. If you'll plant it, He'll send the substance so it won't be a seed anymore. You'll have the real thing. Now you won't have healing as a promise, you'll have healing for real. You won't have prosperity as a promise anymore. He'll send the substance. Well, you got prosperity in the natural. Glory to God. It's good preaching, Gary. Keep going. I will. Hallelujah. His word, the seed, will literally draw His faith into you to manifest the promise in your life. Your job, now this, here's where I messed up for years. Your job is not to expend human energy trying to believe it. Jesus never said that. You look through that Mark chapter 4 and see if you can find it. You never see that. What He said was, your job is to plant the seed and keep it planted. Page 2. Well, the next logical question would be, y'all got that part? Now, the next logical question would be, well, Brother Gary, if the entire kingdom of God operates by me, by my planting the Word of God, just how do I plant it? Well, that leads us to the second thing that the Father told me to teach you, how faith grows. Now, the apostles asked Jesus in Luke 17:5, and the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Now, they could just as well have said, Lord, make our faith grow. Is that fair enough? Y'all go with me on that? Increase our faith or make our faith grow? Same thing? All right. Now, notice very carefully his answer. I stumbled over this for years. The mustard seed thing kept throwing me. He answered him and he said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Now, y'all have heard 1,000 messages, haven't you? Faith messages about that. And there is a lot to teach. I mean, there's revelation knowledge to teach for weeks out of that one verse. But what we're trying to find out is, how do you plant the seed, and how does it grow? Okay? Now, watch. Now, Jesus used the words mustard seed simply to indicate something very small. Okay? Mustard seed is real tiny. Y'all have seen those, probably those little... We used to have a little pearl glass thing you used to wear. It had one little tiny mustard seed in it, you know. They used to give them out if you brought 100 people to Bible study or something, you know, in the church I was raised in. Or if you had perfect attendance, you got your mustard seed thing, you know. Anyway, and that's all right. You remember? Huh? Okay. It's real tiny, isn't it? But that's really the only reason he used that mustard seed. He's agreeing with them, really. He was agreeing with the disciples that at present their faith was indeed small. He says, okay, I agree with you. You got faith tiny, like a mustard seed. Okay. But now get this. Also, the Greek does not actually say they might say. Notice in that verse, he said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say. That word in 1611, might, did not mean what it means to us today. Today it means, well, maybe you will, maybe you won't. Then that word meant you would. Okay? The actual Greek says that you would say. So leaving out the reference to the mustard seed for a moment, Jesus was telling them how to make their faith grow. Now look at this. If you had faith as a seed, you would say. Look at the verse up there again. If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would say. We'll just leave out the mustard seed for a minute. Let's just talk about faith as a seed. If you had faith as a seed, you would say. Saying is how you plant the seed. You keep it planted. If you keep it planted, the seed will spring and grow up. It will eventually become a fruit-bearing tree. Now, Tammy, I'm going to get real specific now because we need to know how this works. Because I know you, I've done the same thing that you're doing. And I did it for so long. And it's not just you, everybody in here. Well, nearly everybody in here. What we do is we take the word. Now, I'm just using myself mostly. I take the word, take anything. Let's take my God shall supply all of my need, according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. A correlated one with that is like when you give your tithe, that the Lord, you know, He'll bless you. Okay, so you give your tithe. And you do meditate the word, and you say it a while. You know, yes, my God shall supply all of my need, according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And we do that for a little while. I mean, maybe it seems like a long time to you. You know, 10, 15 minutes. Angie tried it one night for 15 minutes, called me back, said that seemed like 3 days. You know? But we think we've got it. And we do have it mentally. Mentally, see? And then from then on, now I've got to believe that. It's my faith's on the line. It's my faith that makes this work. See what I'm saying? My faith. Now, Right there is where we get off track. Right there. Because what's this? God has given His faith to all of us in seed form. That seed is the Word of God. Every promise of the Word contains an image in it. You plant the seed by saying the Word. As you continue to say and say and say the Word of God, you keep it planted. You water the seed by praying in other tongues over it and by worshiping God for the fact that He cannot lie. How many times in the New Testament is the Holy Spirit, the example given of Him is water? Out of His belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake He of the Spirit, which had not been yet given because Jesus had not yet been glorified, right? The Holy Spirit, you pray in other tongues over that Word, but you keep saying it. You keep saying it, okay? Now, here it is, Tammy. Here's the reason I started that a while ago. Satan sends all kinds of circumstances with only one goal in mind. Everyone say one. He's got one goal in mind. Not two, one. You got to say it again. One. Not two. One. Now get this. To get you to change what you are saying. That's what you said a while ago. Yes, exactly. Satan comes immediately to steal the word that was sown in your heart. You finally make that decision. You cross over in your thinking. I guarantee you, unless the devil died last week, you are about to run into some circumstances that are going to tell you that ain't working. Now, it wouldn't be any difference if you chose healing. Well, one thing about it, from today on, the Lord is my healer. You better buck up like a man, because I'm telling you, unless the devil died, there's some symptoms headed your way. Try and back you off of that. How many people have we seen? We've seen hundreds at the prayer center. Oh, I've been looking for a church like this all my life. Finally, an anointed man of God with the message of God for this day. Hallelujah. We're going to be here till Jesus comes, and we're going to be praying. And I mean, this is the message. I've heard it. Bless God, this is it. And you can count on me. How many, Daisy?
Oh.
Hundreds, hundreds, and hundreds.
Oh.
You know, because I guarantee you, you set yourself to be a prayer warrior and you're going to set your hiney in a chair and pray revival down. You think the devil is going to let that go uncontested and just let revival break out?
No.
You about to have more circumstances come your way than you can shake a stick at. And it's all intended to do one thing, not two. First of all, get you to change what you're saying. And once you change what you're saying, you just stop the whole process. You just stopped it. The seed is not planted anymore. You dug it up. You threw it away. It ain't working no more. Well, thank God for His grace. He doesn't remove the word from you. You can plant it again. But someday you got to get it through your head. You got to understand, you're not God's. The devil is not going to allow you to live by faith unchallenged. That's his job. That's what he does. To steal the word from you, Sean. That's what he does. He doesn't, like Pastor Dave, he doesn't do anything else. He's not good at anything else. His light's gone out. And if you misjudge him, he'll kill you. Don't give him a copy of this tape. Well, that's what he does. But that's the whole thing. Trying to get you to change what you're saying. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely.
And I hope this will go along with it. But,
okay. Talk loud.
When I've been in that situation,
mm-hmm,
where I said, I'm not going to change what I say, I'm going to hold fast to my confession, okay, and all the circumstances are coming against me,
mm-hmm,
and the whole time, say it's, my God supplies all my needs,
okay,
and I don't have enough food in my house.
Right.
Okay, everything's coming against me, but I'm still saying,
mm-hmm,
my God supplies all my needs, but at the same time I'm saying, I don't understand why it's gotten so low, why we've had to,
mm-hmm,
do without so much,
mm-hmm,
I mean, where it's gotten so bad, because we're King's kids, you know, mm-hmm, why this shouldn't be.
That's called whining and complaining.
Whining and complaining.
Do you remember that tape I taught in the, I mean, this was one about the third or fourth tape way back there. how not to prosper. And he gave me those 10 times. Well, God just brought us, I mean, yeah, he saved us from Egypt, all right, but now he just brought us out into this wilderness, and now there's no water, and we're, I don't know why God would bring us out here just to let us die.
Okay, whatever.
Remember that now?
Remember.
Oh, yeah. And we're really tired of this manna. Here we've been believing God, and he brought us out. He brought us out, and all we're on is bread and water. Yeah, that's whining and complaining. What you do is like you stand in front of your refrigerator if it has a cracker in it. And that's the only thing in your refrigerator. And you worship God. First of all, you worship him for the cracker. Thank God you got something to eat. But then, if you want to do this, you stand there right in front of that refrigerator. There's nothing but the cracker and the light in there. Okay? You know? And you stand there and say, oh, my God supplies all of my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Father, I thank you and I praise you that you're not a man that you could lie. Lord, I call this refrigerator full. I thank you that we have more than we could even get in this refrigerator. We're always looking for people to give all of our excess to. Oh, I thank you and praise you, Lord, that you multiply our seed sown. We always have an abundance, that we always have sufficient for our needs and an abundance left over for every good work. And that's real hard. The flesh don't like that. The devil hates that. That's really hard. When you start doing that, you have made a quantum leap from the world. The world is never going to do that. The world, the natural man, is going to stand there and whine and complain and wonder why God is letting them down like that. You know? You know? But faith will stand there and rejoice that God is not a man that he could lie, and they will call those things that be not as though they were until they are. Because God can't lie. You don't let go of that word. He will come through for you. Okay? You got any more questions?
No more.
Uncle, let up on me. Drop your dukes. Don't be so tough on me. Hallelujah. Okay, we're going down to page 2 here again. You water the seed by praying in tongues over it and by worshiping God for the fact that he cannot lie. Now, Satan sends all kinds of circumstances with only one goal in mind, just one, to get you to change what you're saying. But if you will continue to say the word of God, the very faith of God himself will eventually flow into you. You will simply come to the place where you believe what he, God, already believes. See, Tammy, here's the thing. Here's the amazing, simple thing, if we could just get this. You know God believes this stuff? God's looking around heaven right now. He's looking around, and he looks at himself, and he looks at your house, and he goes, I really am Tammy's provider. I really am El Shaddai, not El Cheapo. I believe this stuff. I multiply their seeds on. See, God believes this. I mean, he goes, all things are possible. I'm not withholding any good thing from them. See, he believes this. Now, when you believe that, that's called faith. And it'll flow into you. All you don't have to believe it, honey. You have to say it. See, understand how seeds work. Again, going back to the apple tree. You planted the seed. Does it make any difference if you stand there? I believe this. Oh, faith. Yes, it's up to me whether this seed grows or not. Does that make any difference with the apple seed? It doesn't with the word either. It really doesn't. All you got to do is plant it and keep it planted. How do you do that? Keep saying it. Keep calling those things that be not as though they were. That's all Abraham did. I am the father of many nations. But you don't have any kids. I am the father of many nations. But you don't have any. Your wife's been barren even when she was young. I am the father of many nations. Abraham, we think you've gone off the deep end. Now you're getting old now, you know. You're getting a little senile. I am the father of many nations. That's all he did. He kept saying it. God changed his name, he just kept saying that. Well, God's changed your name, he calls you wealthy. Is Christ wealthy? So are you. As he is, so are you in this world. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But you got to keep saying it. What he's after is your mouth, your words. Okay? God's faith will come. The seed will draw the faith if you'll keep saying it. I didn't say that was easy. The flesh does not like that. The flesh wants to stand there and say, we're going to go under, we're starving. There's nothing to eat in his house. God isn't coming through and we're going bankrupt, I tell you. And that's what the flesh wants. Now, I don't know why God taking so long or anything else. You know, that's what the flesh likes to do. Just remember, that's flesh. Your spirit man that's born again, the part that's made in the image of God, trusts God. It's not moved by what it sees. It's not moved by what it feels or hears. It's only moved by what God says. God says He's your provider. Bless the Lord God Almighty, He's your provider. What has your sight got to do with it? Not a thing in the world. Last week's lesson. What if some did not believe?
So what?
He said, what if some did not believe? Does that do away with the faith of God? God forbid. God forbid. Every man a liar, that's right. Okay, getting back to the page here. If you continue to say the word of God, the very faith of God Himself will eventually flow into you. You will simply believe what He already believes. When you believe what God believes, faith has come. With the faith, now get this, with the faith comes the substance. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. That substance produces the image contained in the seed. Again, I want to quote Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now you ready for this? You're going to like this. Randy, would you like to please God? You like, really? If I asked you, I said, if I could convince you, Randy, it'd really please God if you got a flat top. And you got convinced. Would you get one?
Yeah, I almost got one anyway.
No, we almost got one anyway. Okay. So if you go that far, I think you'll do this. Now watch. God would be so pleased if all of us would quit all this trying to believe stuff. Quit that. He never said that. He said God would be so pleased if all of us would quit that trying to believe nonsense and just begin saying the word like Jesus taught in Mark chapter 4. We made it too hard, Tammy. We just make it too hard. Quit all that trying to believe stuff, Sean. Just say what God says. He said, take the seed and plant it, didn't He? Yeah. Isn't that what He said? And He said, if you had faith as a seed, what do? If you had faith as a seed, you would
say.
If you had faith as a seed, you would say. Okay, now everyone say that with me. That's where people miss it. Well, how do I plant it? If you had faith, say that.
As a seed,
I would say.
I have faith.
As a seed,
so I say.
God gave me his faith.
They are called promises.
His faith.
In seed form.
I plant them.
By saying them.
Because if I had faith, as a seed,
I would say.
Now, that's the part where people stumble. Right there. They just stumble over it. Well, I said it for 10 minutes. I said it. See, and the problem is they understand the words mentally and they think they've got it. Faith doesn't come out of the head. Faith comes out of the heart. You want to know when you got it? You want to know really when you got it? When you can stand in front of that refrigerator with a cracker in it. And it starts getting more real. I mean, what you see on the inside is more real than the cracker you see in that refrigerator. You see hams and pork chops and bologna and steak, whatever it is you like in there, eggs and milk and butter and everything in the world. What you start seeing on the inside of you with the eye of faith is more real to you than the cracker and the light bulb that's in that refrigerator. Now, God's faith is starting to come into you now. You're starting to see things from with different eyes. They're called the eyes of faith. And those are really the eyes that God sees with. God's eyes. Think about having God's eyes. Glory to God. See things like God. All right. Where was we here? Now, I'm going to use myself as an example. For years and years and years, I tried to believe that God wanted me to prosper financially. I studied everything I could find about it in the Bible. I really did. You ask Sue, you ask anybody that knew me. I read all of the books. I listened to all of the cassettes by the very best teachers, trying to have faith for prosperity. And I mean, we're not talking a few. Hundreds of cassettes dozens of books by Hagen, by Capps, by Norville, by Jerry Savile, by Copeland, on and on and on. All of them, didn't I, Sue? For years, I could preach them as well as Norville could, a lot of them. I could stand right up and even use the inflections of his voice. Hallelujah. I don't know if I'll do it or not right now. Better not. Get carried away. But it was still all mental. It was just mental. It was working for Norville. I couldn't make it work for me. You know why?
It was awful good teaching. Okay.
Well, it was. Yeah. It was good teaching. Yeah. But the problem was, it was all mental. See, I thought I had it because I understood it in my mind. But there's a big difference. When I really started to step out and believe it with my heart, that old poverty doctrine would rise up like a cage, like an animal, rising up like a bear in the springtime coming out of hibernation. And he'd go, no, you don't really believe that. See? You know, it would rise up. It was put in me when I was a kid, the denomination I grew up in. God, you know, if you can't have God and money. That would just rise up in me. I couldn't get past it. I wanted to. I tried to. And so for years I kept trying to believe, whatever that's called, whatever that is. Yes, I believe this. Yes. Yes, you know, and I'd try intellectually to do it. Didn't produce beans. Okay? Didn't produce squat, did it? You know? Just God's mercy, we survived it all. And it never worked. I simply could not believe by human effort nor by human intellect. It just doesn't work that way. Faith is of the heart, not of the head. Thank God for His mercy and grace that He did not give up on me. For years, now I mean for years, He started instructing me strong, especially about 1986. About 1986, 10 years ago. To start walking the floor and saying verses concerning prosperity from His Word. 10 years ago, He tried to start getting me to do that. Did I do it? Oh, maybe 10 minutes at a time. Thought I had it. Wasn't working for me. I'd step out trying to do it. Circumstances would get bad. I'd change what I said. Well, I just don't know why this doesn't work for me. I'd change what I say because the devil would send circumstances. I think I've got that written here. Hang on. Hallelujah. For years, He kept instructing me to spend hours of my time doing nothing but walking the floor and saying verses concerning prosperity from His Word. I simply would not or could not bring myself to do it on a consistent basis. On the few times that I tried, it seemed like does this sound familiar? It seemed like the circumstances grew so much worse very rapidly that I got too busy putting out brush fires, you know, so that I had no time left to spend simply saying the word. Daisy said to me the other day, well, I'm telling you one thing. Since I started confessing the word, the bottom dropped out of my finances. Things were pretty good up until then, Gary. Thanks a lot. No, she didn't put it quite like that. Yeah, but you noticed some changes in your circumstances. There was opposition.
Was it?
Was it? Amalek. All right. Okay. Now, the circumstances. Now, get this here. Get this, Tammy. The reason I know this is because I did it for so many years. The circumstances always defeated me. Here's how. If I could find it, they always defeated me by convincing me that my time would be better spent trying to correct the circumstances than spent simply saying the word.
Well, that hits home.
I know. It does. He's got the same plan for everybody. It hits home with anybody who's ever tried this. I mean, the circumstances, they get bad. Now all of a sudden I got to work two jobs. And overtime on both of them. You know? That's what it seems to me like. And so He just gets you busier and busier and busier, and then pretty soon you got no time for this. Right? And he convinces you that your time, see, and this is bad. I hate to admit this about myself. Every time I did that, what I really said was, I can do more about this than God. Ow! That's really what you're doing. Well, I think my efforts to solve this would accomplish more than whatever God could do by me quoting His Word. Now, see, we would never say that out loud in English. But by our actions, that's what we're saying. And I did it for years. And He still loves me. He loves you too. Okay. Thank God. Everyone say, thank God for His mercy.
For His mercy.
Hallelujah. Now. Huh? I know. How foolish I was, exclamation point. Finally, he kept after me to spend 4 hours a day doing nothing but saying the word of God concerning finances. Only when Sue and I were facing bankruptcy, we were up to the edge of the cliff with our toes sticking out over the edge and looking into the gaping blackness of financial ruin. Do you understand me? and there was a stiff wind at my back. trying to push me on over the edge. Only then was I able to do it. Only when we were facing bankruptcy was I able to overcome my flesh, that's Amalek, enough to obey him. Day after day, week after week, I spent, now you don't have to do this. Do what God tells you. But I don't think he's going to tell you 5 minutes a day. But he told me 4 hours a day, sowing the word. And sowing the word. And sowing the word. How? By saying the word. And saying the word. And saying the word. And at first I could tell no change. That's really, I shouldn't have wrote that. Yeah, I did. It got worse. We noticed the change all right. Got worse. More bills came the next day. And it got worse the day after that. It seemed like the most foolish, non-productive thing in the world to spend my time doing that. And the devil screaming in my ear, have you gone completely insane? They're going to shut off your electric. You're going to be kicked out of your house. You're going to put your wife into living in that warehouse where the roof leaks and the rats come in? Painting all kinds of pictures in my mind, But I knew this time I'd made my mind up. Sink, swim. Go over, go under, live, die. This was it. No plan B this time. God comes through or we die. That's it. Well, it seemed like the most foolish, non-productive thing in the world to spend my time doing. But now, I didn't understand it then like I do now. Little did I know that every hour I spent doing that, God's own faith was coming into me. And God's faith works. His faith has supplied all of our needs now for over 2 years. Plant the seed. It will grow. Now, do you understand? For the benefit of the tape, not everybody knows our testimony. For 2 years, it was 2 years December 4th, since he told us to go full-time in the ministry. And at that time, we had no ministry. We weren't even doing this Bible study. But he told me then, if we would follow his instructions and do this, he would supply all of our needs. We, neither one of us, had a secular job in 2 years. We have yet to ever take up our first offering. We never sell a tape. We've sent out nearly 2,000 of them now. Did you know that? I didn't either. I kept adding it up. Almost 2,000 tapes have gone out of here. We've paid all the postage. We never sell them. We don't charge any for anything. And I don't even put in return envelopes. I don't send out, request letters, Nothing. I just do what he tells me. See? But by speaking that word, sowing that word, saying that word, 4 hours a day, 4 hours a day, 4 hours a day, I didn't realize I was doing Mark chapter 4. Plant the seed, boy. Just plant it. Keep it in the ground. It's designed to grow by itself. It draws on the faith of God if you'll keep it in the ground. His faith will come into you. Faith is no problem then. Hallelujah. And he's been taking care of us for 2 years. And not only that, he's accomplished in 2 years what I couldn't accomplish in 3 decades of working 16 hours a day. Got us out of debt, paid off our car, sent us on a 2.5-week vacation. I never could. We went 10 years and never took one. Sent this in 1 year has sent me a Xerox machine. How long does it take to save up and buy a Xerox machine? Sent me an upgrade on my computer. Sent us a laser printer. Just this last week, sent me a laptop computer. You haven't seen it yet.
I will.
You will. You think, in 2 years, sent us a new microwave, the couch you guys are sitting on. I could just take you through this house. It's been amazing grace.
A diamond ring
for Sue. Yeah?
A new suit.
This ring right here for me.
All right.
I mean, just on and on and on it goes in 2 years. 2 years. But I don't have time, Brother Gary. You don't understand. I'm busy. I'd rather keep working 16-hour days and not take a vacation for 10 years and keep doing it my way. Well, he'll let you and love you, and you can go to heaven. You can go to heaven when you die. Or you could start taking God seriously that he sent his word to be real in your life. And see, anybody can say. You know? We don't have to be smart to say. You know? Somebody can just say, well, what did God say? God says he supplies all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I can say that. All right. My God. Like Randy, he's got a job a lot like what I had. He'd be driving down the road in that truck. My God shall supply all of my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. About that time, the devil says, you don't have lunch money today. Yeah, but my God supplies all of my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Yeah, but my God supplies. Oh, I just thank you, Jesus. I worship you that you're my God and you supply all of my need. Oh, it's just so wonderful, Lord. You are El Shaddai, not El Cheapo. I love you, Jesus. Anybody can do that. Anybody can do that. See? You keep saying that, keep saying that, keep saying that, keep saying what God said, and you're planting and you're planting and you're planting, and that tree will grow. You don't have to make it grow. God makes it grow. His faith comes and does it. Okay? Action page. We're about done. Now in closing. Everyone knows what that means?
Nothing.
Nothing at all. Okay, page 3, action page. You do not leave. Now, I'm going to give you all some practical things I've learned in 2 years. This has been working for us for 2 years. So I've tried a lot of things during the last 2 years. You know, I mean, God got us out so far on a limb, we had to find out how this worked or else. Okay? You know, no job, no offerings, no selling tapes, no nothing. You know, I had to find out how this works. I didn't have any choice. Okay? So I'm just going to share with you some practical things I've learned to save you some time. There's no point in going down rabbit trails where there's no rabbits, right? Okay, watch. Okay. You do not need lots and lots of scriptures to begin drawing on the very faith of God himself. Notice this verse from the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 19:15, the last half of it. At the mouth of two witnesses, or at the mouth of three witnesses, shall the matter be established. I used to have the idea that in order to get something from God, I'd have to first find all of the verses on any given subject and begin confessing all of them. I found that my mind, when I try and do that, my mind tends to wander, and it never really focuses on the Word. It never enters into that supernatural meditation that comes with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Experience has taught me that my confession time is more productive when I only take 2, 3 to 4 verses, maybe, and spend my time confessing only them. Now, for example, these are the actual verses that I quoted in confession form for 4 hours a day regarding prosperity. Just these three. Now, 2 Corinthians 8:9. I gave these are the same three I gave to you, right? For I know the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for my sake he became poor, that I through his poverty might be rich. Psalms 34:10. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Then I would say, I seek the Lord, and I never lack any good thing. Okay, Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all of my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's it. That's it right there, those three. Over and over and over, and I could have kept going and over and over and over for 4 hours a day. I would say these verses out loud. In your own words, the night I tried to get you to do that for 15 minutes, what was it like for you?
I kept looking at the clock every minute, and it seemed like it was 5.
The flesh really hates it.
Yeah.
It hates it. Did your mind think of 1,000 other things you needed to be doing that was more important?
Mm-hmm.
See? That's the same way it always is. Well, I can do things and get stuff done. This is accomplishing nothing. That's exactly how you feel, isn't it? Anyone that's tried this for any length of time. When God says, if you'll plant the seed, the whole kingdom works this way. The whole kingdom works like this. If you'll get that seed planted, if you ever understand how this works, it'll not only work in the realm of prosperity, it works in every area. Jesus said, if you don't understand this parable, how will you understand all of them? The whole kingdom operates this way. Seed time and harvest is God's way of doing stuff. Hallelujah. Sure is quiet in this Presbyterian church. Hallelujah. Those are the three verses. Over and over and over for 4 hours a day, I'd say these verses out loud. There would be times when my mind would really begin chewing, you know what I mean, on the meaning of them. And I'd lapse into other tongues for a while. But now, for example, but my God shall supply all of my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And after a while, my mind would start thinking. I'd go, now, wait a minute. Let's see. He was in heaven. He was rich already. Now, whatever He did, He didn't come down here to do this for His benefit, because He already, you know, my mind started thinking like that. And I'd notice when my mind would start really chewing on something like that, I'd catch myself, and I'd be praying in tongues. But as soon as I noticed it, I'd quit that. And I'd go back to confessing the Word. See, because now look. excuse me. There would be times when my mind would really begin chewing on the meaning of them, and I'd lapse into other tongues for a while, but I'd not allow that for more than just a few minutes at a time. Then I would go right back to saying these verses over and over again. And the reason why is I had other times scheduled for praying in the Spirit. So I did not substitute that for my confession time. See, at first it's hard to pray in tongues very long. Have y'all noticed? Okay? But I'd already been praying in tongues for over 2 years. Hours and hours and hours a day. At this point, it was much easier for me to spend 2 or 3 hours praying in other tongues than it was to confess the Word for 4 hours. So my natural tendency would be, I get tired, I just want to slip over into praying in other tongues. No, this is confession time. I'll pray in other tongues later. You with me? Okay. The entire kingdom of God works by planting the seed. This works in every area of life, not only for prosperity, but for healing, peace of mind, joy, your marriage, wayward children, the anointing for your call. Daisy, everything. You know what He's got me doing right now? Right now He's got me planting power seeds. Everyone say, power seeds.
Power seeds.
I was going, He told me, son, plant power seeds. I went, fine, I would if I knew what that was. And so I started praying and looking through the Scriptures. Now, how about this one? Jesus said, ye shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And I went, whoa, the Holy Spirit's already come upon me. So now I've got to make a confession. I have received power now that the Holy Spirit has come upon me. Yeah. You know, so you lay your hands on somebody and they die. And the devil goes, no, you don't have power. Yeah, I do have power. Because I have received power, Jesus said, after the Holy Ghost has come upon me. See, it's no different. Just like you had to look at the cracker in the refrigerator and call that thing full, okay? Now, I got to look at the person that just died when I laid my hands on them. They're supposed to recover, right? And they died. Does that change my confession? No. Next. Trot the next one in here. You know? Small line. The principle's the same. It works the same. Now, what's my job? If it really isn't working, I need to go sow some more. I have received power since the Holy Spirit came upon me. I lay my hands on the sick. Jesus said, when I lay my hands on the sick, they shall die. No, they shall recover. Amen. That's a power verse. That's power seed. Plant some of it. Be good to have a tree like that. You walk through the grocery store. You know, anybody sick? You got your hand out ready. You know, you sick? Hey, yes, in Jesus' name. And they go, whoa, I'm healed. That'll be a nice day, won't it? Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Okay. This works. Where was I? Okay. The anointing for your call, everything. Now, action. Here we are down to the action part. You wasted your time now if you fall asleep during this part. You wasted coming. Okay? One. Step one. Find two or three promises in the Word of God that cover a problem in your life. And by the way, I don't think I'd try and change your whole life all at once. Wherever your main need is right now, maybe two areas at a time. If it's money, let's concentrate on money. If it's marriage problems, let's concentrate on that. You know, if the doctors gave you 3 days to live, I think it's pretty obvious where, you know, you see what I'm saying? You know, okay. Find them. If you can't do that, if you really can't do that, some people might have a problem, come over to our house. We'll have you more seed than you know what to do with in about 15 minutes. Okay? Now, two, write them into confession form. Now, see, for example, 2 Corinthians 8:9 actually says, "For ye know the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ." But if I'm going to make it into confession form, I say, "For I know." See, that's all you do. You just take it and you make it into confession form. Now, here's the hard part. Nobody in this room will like this. And I've been doing it for 2 years and I still don't like it. But I do it anyway. Three, schedule, plan time during your week to confess the word. Don't hope you'll have time, because you won't have time. I can tell you right now when I'm going to be confessing the word tomorrow, when I'm going to start and when I'm going to end. It's the most important thing in my life. Y'all schedule doctor appointments? Have y'all tried not scheduling your work time? Boss, I'll be in when I feel like it. If I have time, I'll come in and drive that truck for you tomorrow. You know, if I can work it in. You tell Audrey that, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, Audrey, I don't know, 11, 12, I'll try. I'll be in there. Maybe I can stay 2 hours today or tomorrow, you know. I mean, you can't do stuff like that. We all schedule what's important to us. Doctor's appointment? I'll be in to see you whenever I can work it in. No, they'll see you whenever they can work it in, right? They'll tell you when you're coming, and you better put it on your schedule, because if you miss it, it'll be another month before you can get in there. By that time, you'll be healed anyway. Save the money.
They charge you for it.
Yeah, and they charge you for it. A lot of, you know. You see what I'm saying? Schedule it. Plan it. Take your week. Today is Thursday. Find, you know, start planning your days. Now, a good opportunity for y'all to start is Saturday. The second Saturday of every month is all-day prayer at the church. I mean, if you haven't started yet praying in other tongues for any length of time, here's a good opportunity. You can get down there with a bunch of the rest of us fanatics. It's open from 6 in the morning till 6 in the evening. Bring a covered dish. Or you don't eat, just come. I'll spring for your lunch. If we run out, I'll go get you some chicken or something, you know. But come and pray. That'd be a good time to start. But then start scheduling time during the week to do it. If you don't schedule it, you won't do it. Okay. And then understand four, don't try to believe these promises. Brandon, please, quit trying to believe. Tell me you won't try and believe it.
I will.
Okay. You're not going to try and believe it, right?
No more.
Instead of that, what are you going to do?
Say it.
You're just going to say it?
Mm-hmm.
For 5 minutes?
No.
Longer?
Longer.
Okay, you going to plan it?
Yes.
All right, Tim, or Tara, you tell me. You rat on him. Don't try to believe it, just say it. See, God already believes these promises. His faith will come to you. And in 5, you need to understand your enemy. Number 1, A, get this, he will send adverse circumstances. No ifs, no maybes, no buts, they're coming. If you understand that, it at least helps during the battle. It's not God giving you trouble. It's the enemy trying to steal the word from you. Get that straight from the get-go. God is not your problem. Okay? B, the reason the circumstances come is one reason and not two. He wants to change what you say. There it is in a nutshell. That's what it is. C, and he wants to steal your confession time. That's another reason why it comes. I've got all these problems now. I used to have plenty of time. Ever since I started that confessing the word stuff, I got so many problems now, I can't work it in anymore. Well, the devil won. He got you. Another notch on his gun, you know, on his belt. Another Christian. Got that one. And D, his greatest weapon against you is not those circumstances. They're the emotions. Because I guarantee you, it's hard enough to do this when things aren't that bad. But then when you start it and the circumstances get worse, which they will, I mean, everything in you wants to quit doing this. It's like Dave preaches about a person that comes to the prayer center for a while and they start praying and all hell breaks loose like it always does. And pretty soon you notice they're not there anymore. And you go to their house and knock on the door and say, "Hey, I've been missing you at the church. Wouldn't you like to come and pray?" And they go, "I don't want to pray. And I don't even want to pray. Get off of my porch. I'll kill you." I mean, he got more elaborate with it than that, but it's like that. I mean, it was tough enough doing this when you first started, and then when it gets worse, everything in you will go, "I don't want to do this anymore." Now, if you can just remember that thought, and when that thought comes to you later on, "I don't want to do this anymore," remember, "Oh yeah, Gary said that. Oh yeah, that's what the devil's trying to get me to do. I remember what Gary said. He said I'd feel like saying, 'I don't want to do this anymore.'" Remember it, and if you remember it, you'll win. Because right then you say, "I'm going to say it. It's the devil trying to get me to stop. I remember now. He's just working on my emotions. I'm going to say it, and I'm going to say it, and I'm going to say it." And you'll win. Every time. Make up your mind now that nothing is more important than your confession time. Nothing. And the reason I put that in there, and I really will close now, and that doesn't mean anything either. No, it really doesn't. Jesus said in that same chapter, Mark chapter 4, he says, "With the same measure that you meet," meaning that with the importance that you give the word, to that same measure you're going to receive. You put that word first place, schedule everything else around it, the rest of your life around it, you put it first, God's going to put you first. Got it? Questions? Anybody? You had enough questions, Tammy. Do one more question. Does anyone really have any questions about how to do this or how it works? Ever tried it? Not like that?
Confession on prosperity buck. Started out strong, kind of slacked off. Now
yeah.
Back onto it.
Yeah. It'll work. See, this is the thing. This will work 100% of the time for anybody that'll do it. I thank God for the gifts of the Spirit. I mean, sometimes God just does move.
It wouldn't work for Ricky.
Yeah. It'll work for Ricky.
If you got hold of that and started doing it.
Yeah, it'll work for you. You start saying what God says, and He'll do what He says. In a nutshell, that's it. It'll work for anybody. Very good. I like that. We have surely made some kind of fabulous concoction here. That, you know, so y'all help yourself. What do you call it? Banana cake?
It's a banana pudding and chocolate pie and...
Well, I'm going to shut this off and get some. Hallelujah.